Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of From the Lion's Cove. I'm your host, Marcelo, aka Cello, and let me introduce you to my boy Omar Abuhamdeh. But let me give you a professional intro to my boy. He currently plays on the JCU men's basketball team. In high school, he was named All Ohio, first team All District, two-time league player of the year, and was a 1,000-point scorer at North Royalston High School. I mean, if you talk about a high school star, it's this man right here. I mean, phenomenal player, and man, it's great to have you on the podcast today, my brother.
I appreciate you for having me, Marcelo.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate it. That was a great intro, man.
Hey, man. Hey, I mean, listen, when I was in high school, we played against this man twice. First time, easily had 20, easy. And then the second time, on our home court, senior year, dropped 30. It was insane. Like we had people in like the locker room, like saying, "Oh yeah, well I want to guard Omar this game," or "Oh, they wanted to guard you, they wanted to clamp you," and bro, you just dropped 30.
I can't let that happen. Bro, go on. I was in that mode that night.
It was awesome. So
that's crazy.
All right, we got a few questions for you today. Let's get right into the interview. So, what inspired you to really play the game of basketball?
You see, Marcel, that's a great question. That's a great question because there are honestly a few things that inspired me to play the game. One of them being my family. Honestly, I feel like that's an easy one because I come from a big family. I'm one of 10.
Wow, really?
Yeah, there's 7 boys in my family, and I'm kind of like, I'm the 4th oldest, so my 2 older brothers, just growing up, like having them as role models, seeing the sports they have played, it really like motivated me to like also do the same, but also just to be like, just to be able to really play with them, you know what I mean? Yeah. They're obviously older, so being able to play with their friends at that level, at that age, and that really just inspired me. And when I saw a little bit of improvement every time I got on the floor or even picked up a basketball, just seeing that improvement really just drove my hunger for the game. And outside of that, really just growing up and watching Kyrie Irving play.
Really?
Can we talk about Kyrie Irving for a second?
Dude, Kyrie Irving is the man.
This past month?
Yeah.
He's been going crazy.
Dude,
but
crazy.
Growing up watching Kyrie when he was here, obviously, playing for the Cavs, growing up watching him play was like no other, because there wasn't really that point guard at that time, I would say, that had that smooth, that silk to his game, you know what I mean? Being able to handle the ball as well as he does. When I saw that, all I had to do was search up Kyrie Irving highlights on YouTube, and
yeah,
boom, I had my workout for the day. Really, just watching him, I knew exactly what moves I was going to work on. And
yeah.
But yeah, man, that's ultimately what really inspired me to play the game.
So, like, were there any other players who, like, you, like, looked up to, or, like, players, like, within, like, your area while growing up?
Growing up, yeah, I would have to say, outside of, obviously, the professionals, like, growing up, other than, like, Kyrie or, like, Tony Parker, I loved watching them both play growing up, just because I thought the way they played was just the right way, like, whether it was their ball handling, the way they controlled the game, with the ball in their hands and without the ball in their hands, obviously. But around here, growing up watching like Day-Day Grant,
okay,
which I'm sure you obviously know of, had
of
a great past year, honestly, had a few good games in March Madness, and him, watching him play, I don't know if you remember Marion Jackson from Garfield Heights.
I don't.
Yeah, he was one of those. He was one of those dogs, man. I remember watching a game. They played Shaker Heights.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and I remember that was like the talk of town, saying that like there's some top 50 players in the country going at it, because at that time they had Willie Jackson.
Okay.
Who else? Obviously Marion, and Shaker had. Man, I can't remember his name, but he was a big, ended up playing at West Virginia, I believe. His name was like Ahmad or Issa Ahmad or something like that. But yeah, essentially growing up watching those players really made me love the game, really, and just really incorporate their game into mine.
Wow. Yeah. Dude, that is awesome. Yeah. So like you're a brother, so you have three older brothers, right?
Two older brothers, and the oldest is my sister.
Okay,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
So I'm also assuming that they also played in high school too?
Yeah, so I actually got the privilege of playing with my older brother, who's 2 years older than me. So when I came in as a freshman, he was a junior. Wow. So I got to play with him my freshman and my sophomore year.
So like, what was it like playing with like your brother?
Honestly, man, it was – you can't really like explain it unless you've obviously – like, unless you've had that happen to you or had the privilege of that happening to you. But it's crazy, man, because he's obviously coming in. He's 2 years older than you. He's 2 years older than me. So he kind of, like, let me know, like, how it is playing at that next level, playing against dudes who are 4 years older than me, have me by, like, 20, 30 pounds.
Wow.
So really having him as someone that could guide me through, like, that difference was really huge. And also, like, him playing the 2 and 3 guard while me playing the 1, it was really cool being able to get him a fast break and dish to him in the corner and me knowing it's going in, because we grew up doing that same thing. So it was really cool, man. It was really cool. So, I'm blessed. I'm blessed to have that, for real.
Dude, that is awesome. So my next question, what are some of the biggest challenges that you faced as a star high school athlete? And how did you overcome those challenges?
Honestly, I would say many of the challenges came when I was younger. Okay. So my freshman, sophomore year.
Okay.
Kind of like what we talked about earlier, just like adapting to like that new game. It's way faster. Again, you're playing with kids who are stronger, bigger, stronger, faster than you. So if I had to say there's one biggest challenge, it would be that, because I was undersized, and I would say getting in the weight room really was my biggest thing to overcome that. I feel like when I first got like a taste of it in the summer going into my freshman year of high school, you know, playing those scrimmages, playing in those leagues, you'd play in the summer with your team, and me really realizing like, okay, like I need to really step it up. Like I need to get in the gym, get in the weight room. And really focus on that, so I'm able to compete at that level. But yeah, that's definitely one of the biggest challenges, I would say.
Wow. Yeah. So like, I mean, I guess like, so you kind of said how you were undersized. Like, I guess like when you were playing against those like bigger guards, like I guess like in the game, like what were some of like the moves that you would do to, I guess, you know, create some space and like allow you to create some shots for yourself?
Yeah. So honestly, it was difficult, like I said. So I had to learn how to use my body, really like know how to navigate myself through like certain situations, whether it's like a press break, not to get too sped up. Because again, like when you play at that level coming into high school, the game speeds up like that.
Right.
And so really just understanding the game, really understanding basketball, just the ins and outs of it, where your teammates should be, you know what I'm saying? And but yeah, what was the original question again? I don't know if I really answered that on point.
What were some of the biggest challenges that you faced as a star high school athlete?
Yeah,
how did you overcome them?
Yeah, so yeah, again, yeah, really that, and what else? Just really getting that like that fresh meat narrative out of the way.
Yeah.
I feel like coming into high school, I had a relatively popular name going in. I feel like me starting as a freshman really kind of opened people's eyes and really wanted to come at me just so they could prove something, I feel like.
Right.
So I feel like every game, knowing that I was going to get guarded by probably their best player or by their best defender at least. So I feel like just not really listening to the outside noise.
Yeah.
Saying like, you know what I mean? Obviously, you play the game of that basketball, you're going to hear things.
Of course.
And like during the game and outside of the game. So just hearing X, Y, and Z about how like I'm not ready to play at that level yet, I'm too young, et cetera, et cetera. And I really just use that as motivation to really do my thing, get in the gym, and yeah, just continue to improve.
Right. Dude, yeah. Dude, that is awesome, man.
Thank you, bro.
So my next question is, how did your coaches and teammates influence your development as a player and as a person?
Yeah, honestly, there's one coach that comes to mind. There are honestly a few throughout my career that I could really give like my props to and really thank them for really developing me as a player, but as a person outside of basketball. But if I had to say one coach, it would definitely have to be my high school coach, Nick Lapsevich.
Okay.
He was he head coached at North Railton for about, I'd probably say about eight years, if okay. I had to say. But this was a guy who was my gym teacher as a elementary school kid.
Really?
Yeah. And seeing his growth as to like him becoming a high school varsity basketball coach when I was in probably like sixth grade. And since the day I met him in elementary school, he's just always been that guy that you could really just go to for anything, whether it's basketball or schoolwork or your personal life. He was just like a father figure to, I feel like, a lot of the players growing up in North Royalton. But he was a huge role in my development in terms of working out with him. He was a guy that was really big on player development. Okay. And he really knew what he was talking about because he has experience in it. He's trained Mario Chalmers back in the
really?
Day. Yeah, he has some pretty, pretty impressive players that have trained with him. And just having him as a tool, as a mentor, as a father figure as well, honestly, being there with me every step of the way, that was definitely a huge part of my development as a player, for sure.
Yeah, and like plus, like I'm sure, you know, he really wanted to see you succeed. I mean, especially, you know, I mean, you said you had him as a gym teacher, like yeah. when you were like in elementary school. So yeah. like I'm sure, you know, as you were coming up the ladder in high school, he was like, you know, obviously you have a lot of potential. You're a great basketball player, and you're a great person. Yeah. So, you know, I'm sure he was like, you know, like you definitely like, you know, deserve to grow and to blossom as yeah. just a great player. And obviously we can see that with the resume that you have.
Thank
for
you,
sure.
Thank you, man. Yeah, for sure.
So like, was there, I guess, like a life lesson that you learned like from that process, you know, being like in the weight room, like with him, just like, you know, creating that player coach, you know, kind of bond. Like, was there anything that like, you know, like when you're older that, you know, you would want to tell like, or you don't teach your players, or you would want to teach like your future kids?
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure. Honestly, it's really keeping a good yet small circle around you. I feel like growing up when I hit that, like, when I hit my teens, I would say I have the same friends that I did back then, honestly, my same little tight-knit group. And the fact that we all had the same values, really just shared the same thoughts and really just understood the game of basketball, just understood life the same way. We came up relatively the same way. And I feel like the tight group that I have back home is really played a big impact on me on the court and the weight room and really just outside, like in life, really. So I feel like if I had to say one lesson that impacted me the most is really just keep good people around you, just in general, really. Yeah. People who see your value, people who want what's best for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is great advice, man.
Yeah, for sure.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
So what is one memorable game or moment from your high school basketball career that you'll never forget?
There are honestly a few that come to mind. I could easily say our rival Brecksville. I feel like honestly every game was just, you know what I mean? You know how it is playing yeah. a rival school back in the day. It's just a different energy, you know what I mean? The
oh, yeah.
gym is just electric. But I would say my junior year, we played Brecksville in the second round of the playoffs. And this is a team that's in our league, obviously. So we played them twice prior to this game.
Wow.
And you know what the saying is, being a team three times in a row is not easy.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's
tough.
It's very easy. So going into that game, we obviously knew that. It's like, oh my God, we got to play this team again. They're our rivals. This gym is going to be jumping. So we're excited, but we're like nervous at the same time. You know
right.
how it is.
Right.
So that game was sold out. And the environment, man, it's just, I can't even put it into words. There wasn't an open seat in that gym, and everyone was just looking forward to this, man. The whole day at school, people coming up to you, just telling you how excited they are. Wow. And, yeah, that game was, we ended up winning, and we ended up playing St. Ed's the following game, and you know how that goes. playing a team like St. Ed's. But,
right.
But, yeah, honestly, that game was probably the most memorable because it really felt like the whole city came out, both cities. I feel like Brecksville and North Rosen all came out and they all were looking forward to this game.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
was there any other memory too that you'll never forget? Besides that one?
I would have to say winning. I could say winning our league my junior year. Winning wow. our league because we won it against Brecksville. And I know that I keep coming back to this game just because, like, that's just how it was back.
Yeah.
Back in high school. But we went winning the league and cutting down a net for the first time in my life was
dude, that was probably like the best feeling.
Yeah, it really was, because you see it online, right. You see it from March Madness games,
of course.
So just like having that feeling of doing it yourself or your first time doing it in that environment when the whole city's like watching you cut down a net, it was kind of nice.
And also, I'm sure, you know, having like your family there.
Yeah, too. Exactly.
Like, it was probably awesome.
Exactly, man. Yeah, it was really cool because I don't know, man. You know, man. You come from a great family. It's a different feeling when you see your mom, your dad, just like proud of you. Like, you know what I mean?
Dude, that's like the best feeling like in the world. Like,
yeah, it really is.
Like, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
And like the fact that like they are just so proud of you too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, you kind of know that, you know, you're doing the right things and you're going through the right path.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure, man. Yeah, that's definitely one of the top tier feelings for sure.
Yeah, and also too, you guys were in a tough conference.
Yeah.
You guys had a lot of great teams
that
conference.
Yeah, we did, man. We did the Stowes, the Twinsburgs. Obviously the Brecksvilles, the Hudsons, even, yeah, it was some good. How do I say this? Like, some good fundamental basketball right there.
Yeah, I mean, we played Hudson, played
yeah.
Aurora,
yeah,
played Twins. I don't know. Did we play Twinsburg? I'm not sure if we did. I think we had a game against them, but then it got canceled because of COVID.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You know, I mean, we played you guys. Yeah. I mean, it was just you know. Transition offense, yeah. Just like fast pace, like yeah. It was like it's awesome.
Yeah, no, it is, man. It is the game of basketball, man. It's the game of basketball, it's
dude.
The best sport in the world,
dude. For real.
Yeah.
So, what was the recruiting process like for you, and how did you ultimately decide to attend John Carroll? Because, you know, like obviously being like a player and also a fan, like, you know, I got to see a bunch of my friends like commit to like colleges and stuff. Mm-hmm. And also, like, you know, I saw like, you know, the schools and the coaches who you've talked to.
Yeah.
So yeah. How did you ultimately decide to attend John Carroll?
Yeah. Honestly, so to answer the first part, like the recruiting process when we were seniors, it was weird because COVID-19 hit
right.
the year prior. So then you see players in college get an extra year.
Yeah.
So that completely changes the recruiting process around when it comes to seniors in high school.
Yeah.
Because schools aren't actively recruiting as much, especially high schoolers. They're not really actively recruiting high schoolers as much because they know this player has another year to stay.
Right.
So I feel like our year was definitely a year that will go down in the books, at least when it comes to recruiting for college. But ultimately, the recruiting process was different. It was a lot different than I expected because of the pandemic. But it was kind of like nerve-wracking a little bit.
Yeah.
Just because you had so much to take in at in such little time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You hear back from three or four schools, and then the next thing you know, you have a visit scheduled every single week with every school just to find out, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The right fix. It's important to visit schools before you commit, just because the culture can say so much about a school just being there. You know what I mean?
Right.
But ultimately, I decided to come to John Carroll because I feel like a school like this really sells itself.
Yeah.
When it comes to the academics, but also the sports teams. I mean, how many sports teams this year do you think won the OAC?
A lot.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So I feel like John Carroll, when it comes to D3 sports, as well as even like the OAC, is definitely one of the better schools academically and athletically, for sure. So I feel like the school itself really sells it. And just the culture, man. I feel like the dudes, the guys that come here are really, really have the same goal. They really love the game. I feel like when you play Division III basketball, especially when you're close to home, you just got to love the game in order to play at the Division III level.
Right.
So I feel like the fact that I knew a lot of the guys around me had the same goal, and it really, really played a big part of why I came here. So,
wow, yeah. Dude, that's awesome. And like, I could definitely like relate because I know what's it called? I know like the one time I got an email from a coach saying that he wanted to watch one of the games on like through like a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Like and like prior to that, like I mean, games were not live streamed.
No, not at all.
Like you had like the huddle,
yeah.
And that was like the only thing.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, okay, here's like your huddle tape. Now I'll send it out.
Yeah.
Now it was all over YouTube. Like you could find it anywhere.
Yeah, you really can, man.
And
it's crazy.
And too, like I'm not sure if you did this, but I had like two virtual visits. Like
wow.
Where literally like I was on a computer with like my mom, and like you know like they would give us a tour of the school like virtually and of the facilities. Like it was crazy.
That's crazy. I think I've been asked to do one of those before, but I don't think I really took it seriously because I didn't know how I felt about like a virtual visit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I feel like being there is a completely different experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like, I don't know. That's interesting. That's kind of weird.
Dude,
now that I think about it.
Dude, it was crazy. Like, because I mean, like obviously like prior to that, you know, we toured like a few schools, even like a few like major schools that I knew I was going to play basketball at,
right.
But like just for school purposes.
Yeah.
And it was just crazy because like, you know, you would have like a person just talking to you through like the laptop, just like telling you, okay, here's this, here's that. But it's like until like you're actually at the place, then you can kind of get a feel for it.
Yeah,
and
100%.
Also a feel of like the people too.
Yeah,
because you know,
exactly.
You want to be surrounded with good people.
Exactly, exactly. And you could hear what they have to say about it. They could have a complete other story.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So yeah, I feel like it's really important to go.
Right. So like. JCU, obviously a D3 school.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think sets D3 basketball apart from D1, D2, and all of the other like the divisions?
That's a great question because kind of like what we talked about earlier, I feel like playing at the Division III level is different in terms of like kids obviously don't get scholarships to come here, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly.
Kids aren't getting paid to come here. And I feel like in order to play at a Division III school where obviously you don't get that scholarship is you really got to love the game.
Yeah.
I know what I mean? And
right.
A lot of people knock D3, but man, that's definitely one of the biggest wake-up calls that I had when I first came here as a freshman. I was like, wow, like I definitely underestimated the talent and what all goes into playing Division III basketball, you know what I mean? But yeah, man, that's really it. I feel like you have a better relationship at a D3 school with your teammates, but also with your coaches.
Yeah.
Because there's not much on, I don't want to say there's not much on the line, but you're not competing for a scholarship. You're not playing in order to keep your scholarship either. You
right,
know what
exactly.
I mean? You pay to go to school here and it's a lot of time. You know what I mean? It takes a lot of time. The basketball season's like a 5 to 6 month season. So, I mean, it's a lot of the year and a lot of your time. And I feel like you don't spend that much time unless you really love the sport and love what you do, love your team and really the culture you guys build around it. So
right.
I feel like that's the biggest thing that sets D3 schools apart.
And like plus two, like I've seen like D3 benches where there's, you know, 25 kids on like a team. Yeah. There's like 20 kids on like a roster. It's like, yeah. You really have to like love the game.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to like dedicate a lot of time and to get better and really just to play. Cause again, like a lot of people sleep on D3, man, but
yeah.
it's at least for me and what I've seen over the past few years, it's definitely improved like tremendously.
Yeah.
And I feel like I feel like D3 has become a lot more acceptable to high school players.
Right.
I feel like honestly, like I'm obviously biased when I say this because obviously I'm on the basketball team, but yeah. I feel like the John Carroll men's basketball team these past 2 years have definitely changed the narrative.
Oh yeah,
around
for sure.
Division III basketball in terms of like not only obviously the transfers that came in here, but it really shows the talent that is D3 basketball.
Yeah, and also too, you know, there's been so many D3 players who have made it to like the league.
Yeah,
like I'll never forget Duncan Robinson was like, yeah, I played it in a gym with like no one there.
Right, right.
And then now he's obviously, you know, he signed like a large contract for, yeah, I think around like $50 million like a few years ago, yeah, which is crazy.
That's so, life changing,
like,
man.
Yeah, so like, you know, there's just so many just good players out there, mm-hmm, and like even at like D3 schools, mm-hmm, like it's crazy.
It's crazy, man. It really is. That also just shows like how difficult and really how hard it is just to play at that Division II, Division I level. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? Because I'm around Division III athletes all day. You know what I mean? I've seen my team and playing against other teams, but that made me realize like, wow, like, I wonder how good a D2 or a Division I basketball game really is. Like being, yeah, there and really like being in the game, I can't imagine it.
Yeah, and also too, just like there's so, like, think of all the other like D3 talent out there. Like,
yeah,
like, I mean, like, I'm sure in Ohio there's tons.
Yeah.
But I mean, just like across like the country.
Yeah. Crazy, right?
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy amounts,
I know,
bro.
I know. I feel like there's a lot more on this part of like the country though. I feel like there are many of the D3 schools reside in like New York, Pennsylvania,
yeah,
Indiana, Ohio obviously has a bunch, but yeah, I feel like there are a lot more D3 schools on this part of the country for sure.
For sure, brother. So describe how you felt making your college debut. So subbing into the game for the first time, how did that feel?
Honestly, it was, I still remember to this day, I was obviously a freshman. We were playing Buffalo State,
okay,
in Buffalo, New York.
Yeah.
And I got in at the end of the game. We were up a good amount. And I believe this was our first game of the year. And it was just – I don't even remember, honestly, to be honest with you, like how I was feeling. But I'm sure at that time I was definitely very nervous, probably very shaky.
Yeah.
Probably just wanted to – get a shot up, probably just to get that nerve out of the way.
Right.
But yeah, it was definitely mind-boggling for sure. Cause it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, wow, here it is. You know what I mean? This is,
yeah,
this is what you worked your whole life for, is to really just, you know what I mean? This is your environment. This is what you came here to do.
Yeah.
So it was just kind of crazy just cause like how fast it came, really.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Dude, yeah, that was probably just like a great just like feeling too. Just,
yeah,
like, wow, just like, you know, I'm here,
yeah,
checking into the game.
Yeah.
Like it was probably awesome.
Yeah, it was, man. It was, because I remember I did have a feeling I was going in, obviously, because we were up in the game. This was like the last 4 minutes of the game, and I hear my name get called, and I'm just like, my face automatically just like went red for a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just because like you're like, oh, like, dang, like, here it is. This is like the moment. You know what I mean? This,
yeah,
is the moment like you were hoping for. So go do something with it. So, yeah.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah.
So what's it called? I remember you scored your career high of 19, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was it 19?
Yeah, it was.
So just like describe that feeling of scoring your career high in a college game. Just,
yeah,
like, just, I'm pretty sure you shot like 5 for 5 from 3, I think.
Yeah, 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 it was.
Yeah, so just talk about that for a second.
Well, so that game actually, there were two games. I had pretty big. There were two big games that I've had so far in my college career, and one of them, the one you're talking about at least, was my freshman year. So that same year, it was our last game of the year.
Okay.
And we're playing Wilmington.
Okay. Yeah.
At home, and I honestly don't know what was like, or what made me feel like comfortable enough to take the shots I was taking, but it was definitely surreal, man. And it honestly was comforting to a certain point, because like that whole year, obviously I didn't get the opportunity to like play that much or really get the opportunity to shoot the ball a lot.
Yeah.
So when I showed myself that I had the ability to go score for 19 points, to go 5 for 5 from the field or from three.
Yeah.
It really was comforting. And it also was like a reminder for myself, like, okay, like you still got this.
Man. Yeah.
You still could really do this. But yeah, that was definitely a really good feeling because again, there, you know, the mind of a basketball player, obviously like you know, you have a few bad games or you don't play as much here and there. You start to get in your own head like, okay, maybe this isn't for me, but no, that was definitely like a turning point when it came to my confidence and just understanding like I belong here. Like
and also too, it was probably awesome like having just like your teammates just like around you, like especially like after the game, just supporting you 100%. And all that stuff. Like it was probably awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. It was awesome. Yeah, we have the best group of guys here, man. They show love and dude. So thankful for them, man.
So can you walk us through a typical day as a student athlete at John Keel University? So I know, big fan of Devontae Friga, and obviously, you know, if I'm sure you've like seen his videos and stuff just like the day in the life of like a D3 hooper and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, so just describe your typical day here at John Keel.
Okay. Do you want me to describe a day as like in season or like a day in the life like right now?
Do in season, like preparing for like a game.
Ooh, so it's game day.
Yep.
Okay.
Game day.
Okay. So, day in the life is obviously get to class. I'm imagining like this is a Wednesday, obviously, because we play on Wednesdays. So get to class at 9 a.m. Go to my next class at 10 a.m. Go grab a relatively healthy meal, whether that's piñata, get you like a salad, like a chicken salad.
Yeah.
Or obviously, honestly, go to like Subway or something, get you like a 6-inch or something. But usually, again, that in my body right after class is crucial because that gives me like a little boost where I can go shoot around for a little bit in the gym. But after that, usually take like a good like hour and a half, 2 hour nap before we have shoot around at usually like 4.
Okay.
And then shoot around at 4, and then after shoot around, usually go shower. And after the shower, we do a chapel meeting before every home game.
Wow.
Yeah, where.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah, no, it's really cool because it really gets us like, gets us a little amped up.
Yeah.
And what we do in the chapel pregame is usually coach picks 2 or 3 players to talk in the chapel before every game. And it's really like the time in the chapel is meant for us to be like to talk about anything except basketball.
Wow.
Whether it's talk about something that's happening in your life or something that someone that the rest of the team doesn't know about you.
Wow.
And that really gives us a perspective on like stuff outside of basketball and to really just appreciate our time here together. So I feel like that is really, really cool that we do that because it really gets amped up for the games. But after that, go back in the locker room, lay down on our, like in our locker, for like about like an hour, or not even like an hour, like maybe like 30 minutes, and then get dressed and go warm up.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah,
dude.
Man. Crazy. Wow. Crazy. Yeah. It's a long day. Like,
oh yeah.
Game days are long. It's just like, it's weird. It's just like all like, it feels long, at least like pregame. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and also college games are usually what like 2 hours, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably
it's about,
max.
Yeah, it's about 2 hours max. Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you're probably not getting home until like 10 or like 11. You probably have homework on top.
Exactly,
of that and stuff.
Exactly. But the cool thing about going to school here is, like, what there's definitely over like 50% are athletes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, right?
For sure.
So I feel like a lot of the professors understand like you got stuff going on. They're really cool about like you turning in stuff like a little late or yeah, stuff like that. So as long as you're like transparent with your professors, for the most part, they're pretty cool about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it's cool to hear too, because like I never know what it's like, you know, like what you might be going through throughout the day, or right. Like for example, like a person on the cross country team or a person on like the football team,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You know, you guys have all have like different schedules. Yeah. So like it also gives like others like a good perspective.
100%.
Like, you know, if they want to go to like a D3 school, right. Of what it would be like.
Yeah, well no, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Our school has a lot, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So like would your game day prep, is that kind of like similar towards like, or like similar like when you were in high school too?
Yeah,
is that kind of like the same thing?
It honestly is. Yeah, it definitely is, because you know how it is, bro. When you're playing a sport, honestly, any sport, I can't even like just put this towards basketball, because I feel like a lot of other sports do this. Like, there's a certain routine that you have. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like if you go against it, it's just like something you just think, like it gets in your head, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Whether it's like, for me, one big thing for me is like I have to put on my socks first.
Really?
Yeah, like that's the like right out of the shower, like the first thing I'm putting on is my socks.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And it's an all like the whole team thinks it's so weird.
Yeah,
but I'm like, this is what I've been doing since day one. Like, yeah, it's just part of my routine. But also like Subway.
Really?
Yeah. Subway. So Subway has been something that has been part of my routine since day one, bro.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it's just, wow, second nature to me now.
Dude, yeah, yeah. Like I know, like when I was in high school, like I would pack a turkey sandwich,
yeah,
applesauce, yeah, banana,
yeah,
and a Gatorade,
exactly,
bar. And I have to eat it in order.
Yeah.
I'd be like, turkey sandwich, then applesauce, then banana, then the Gatorade bar, like a few, like an hour, like before the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then like, you know, I would like meditate, do some stretches and stuff. Mm. So like, yeah, yeah, like if I didn't do like, if I didn't do that stuff,
yeah,
I'd be like,
something,
oh,
was,
yeah,
something,
yeah,
was gonna go wrong, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I feel you, bro. I feel you.
Dude, that is awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I mean that kind of like ties into like my next question. So like, yeah, how do you like mentally like prepare for games, especially like in high pressure situations? Kind of like, you know, like you're playing against like a rival, or you know, you're playing like a playoff game. Like, how do you mentally like prepare for that?
Honestly, so games like that, obviously, anxiety is through the roof.
Oh, dude, for sure.
Yeah, because you know how important those games are. Just because those are statement games. Not only are they like bragging rights, but they're statement games, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because everyone knows, like, when you win a rival game, that game is start on schedule, like, since day one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now is, like, that team for us. You know what I mean? As soon as our schedule comes out, that game is start right away.
Oh, yeah.
But as far as mentally preparing myself, it's different, because I try to calm myself down as much as possible. And that kind of goes into what I'm saying earlier. That's why it's important to have, like, the right people and good people are around you, because those people know what to do, what to say, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pre-game, just so, you know what I mean, get us amped up and feel like, you know what I mean, there's a reason why we're here. Like, there's a reason we prepared all week for this game. Like, we're ready and we're going to win this game.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, staying as calm as possible, a little bit of R&B. In my,
really?
Music, yeah,
really?
a little bit in my playlist.
Who are like your favorite like R&B artists? Yeah, yeah. Who's like, who are like your go-to like artists?
Oh my god, bro! Obviously, one we share,
Drake, man.
Come on,
the GOAT, Drake, the GOAT.
So Drake is definitely one of them, bro. I love Drake's R&B, bro. This is day one. Been a fan since I was young, but
that's awesome.
I would have to say Miguel. And a lot of female artists, bro, like SZA, Summer Walker. I can even throw Party Next Door in there.
Hey, Party Next Door is underrated.
Come on,
Party Next Door is underrated.
He has
some great songs.
Yeah, no, for sure. And all my brothers love R&B. Like, we share the same exact music taste. It's kind of crazy. So, like, we're always putting each other on the new songs. Or, like,
yeah,
my brother will send me, like, an R&B song, like, literally on game day. Because he knows, because
right,
I've played with him, you know what I mean, back in the day. back in high school, but he knows exactly what my routine is. Yeah. So he'll send me like a new R&B song, like put me on like pregame.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, dang, like, okay, I like this song, bro. Thanks for putting me on. But yeah, that's definitely something that I use to calm me down and really get me in that mode.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of not like – it's like – not usually what a lot of athletes do, you know what I mean? They're right. Throwing on that future.
Oh, yeah.
They're, you know what I mean? To get them fired up. And don't get me wrong, like, I can get fired up like that.
Right.
But, like, for me to calm down, I definitely need some R&B in my ears.
Right. Yeah. Like, I know, before my games, I would always throw on just, like, a random playlist. Just, like, a bunch of songs. Just let it, you know, shuffle. And then, you know, I would go on, like, my other playlist, and it would have, like, I would always play God's Plan, obviously. Drake Classic.
Right.
And then... Heart of a Champion by Nelly. That's like my like go to like song. Just like it's just like I don't know. It's got like, you know, that basketball feel.
Yeah.
And obviously it has like that like, you know, like TNT background, you know, like someone like shoots it and then
it's playing
like,
in the background.
So dude, just I mean like you know, I'm sure you have songs like that too where it's like, you know, it kind of just brings you to like that feel, kind
100%.
Of puts you in like the zone.
100%. You know what song gives me that vibe?
What song?
All of the Lights.
Dude, All of the Lights.
Come
is
on,
a
with
great
Kanye.
Song.
Yeah. You already know, bro. Yeah, no. That song has been my that's my song when it comes to that. When it comes to like that TNT background.
Yeah.
It'll be something to get me a little amped up. It's kind of cheesy because that's an old song and
bro.
It's overplayed, hello, but hey, it's my song, bro.
Bro, dude, and also it's a classic too. Like I mean, like, you know, I'm sure when you went to high school basketball games, like when you were a kid, that song and put on with like Jeezy and Kanye, and then and like what else? There was like a bunch of like others, like what was it? Eminem.
Like
it's just all like those like old like old school songs.
Yeah.
So it just like brings you back to like that feel.
Yeah, it does, man. It's a great feeling because again, like growing up, like hearing those songs, like pregame, going to a game, going to a high school game, going to a college game.
Yeah,
like hearing those songs in the background, growing up, like it just made the environment look that much more cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you hear those songs now, it's like, it takes you back to that time. It's, you know what I mean? It's good vibes.
Right. Dude, and too, like, so obviously me and Omar, we're both major, like, Drake fans. So, like, I'm sure, like, when you're listening to Drake as, like, a kid, and, you know, you're playing games, like, you know, you might have scored, like, you know, a certain amount of points in this game, so, you know, a song kind of brings you back to that game.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
I mean, you just create memories, like, with these songs, and, like, as you just, like, you know, move on with your career,
yeah.
I'm sure, you know, when you shuffle through a playlist and you hear that song, you know, you instantly think of that, like, one game.
Exactly,
or, like, that
exactly.
one play.
Yeah.
So,
crazy, bro.
Dude, it is.
Yeah.
So my last question for you is, well, actually, I have three more questions, but this is, like, the last one just about basketball in general.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to student-athletes out there and others who hope to play college basketball someday?
Advice? My advice would be is honestly, it's stay true to yourself. I know that sounds a little cheesy and a little weird, but honestly, understand why you're there. Understand why you wanna play at the next level. Understand what goes into it. And be real with yourself. Is that something you're gonna wanna do? Are you gonna wanna put in 3, 4, 5 hours of basketball workouts, of shoot around every single day for 5 months out of the year? So I feel like that's the number one advice I would give. Because I feel like coming to play college basketball is definitely a wake-up call. I feel like no one is really ready unless you see it firsthand, because you just really don't know what all goes into it, I feel like. And at least I didn't coming in. And I feel like if I knew that prior to coming here, it would have definitely helped me be, you know what I mean, a little bit above the curve, if that makes sense. But yeah, so if I had to say one thing of advice, it'd be that for sure.
Awesome, yeah. Brother. So I'm turning to the segment. So quote of the episode. So pretty much, you know, every interview from here on out, you know, I'm going to give my interviewee a quote. So obviously, this is a quote from the great Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
So He said, everything negative, pressure, challenges, is all an opportunity for me to rise. So how does this relate to you in your life? It could be in basketball, it could just be in life in general, it could be in school.
Yeah.
Just how does that quote relate to?
I really like that quote a lot because I feel like that quote, you could relate it to really anything that's going on in your life, whether it's your personal life or whether it's in your sport, et cetera, et cetera. But I feel like negative things really are a way to learn, or negative situations or anything really that's going on in your life, whether it's, again, like your family or on the basketball court. I feel like going through a tough situation is only an opportunity to make you better.
Right.
Really, it's an opportunity to learn, know what you did wrong, know how to fix it, and really what other path you could take the next time you face this challenge. You know what I mean?
Right. And also, too, like, the one thing that I always live by is that, you know, the storm doesn't last forever.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you're obviously going to go through pressures. Like in school, for example, like, you have to study a lot. You know, you have to, like, if you wanted to do well in a class, you really have to put in the time and the effort.
Yeah.
Same thing with basketball, and same thing with even being, like, a person.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just going through, like, all of that stuff. Because, I mean, obviously, like, we're only in college.
Exactly.
Like, we still have, you know, a lot. You know, we still have to face the real world,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, face like challenges, like challenges that are even bigger than us.
100%.
You know,
100%. And some stuff we never even thought that would happen to us either.
Right. Exactly.
I know what I mean. We just gotta understand it's part of life, and it's an opportunity for us to grow as individuals. But yeah.
Yeah, and really, and like especially having like faith and religious truly just like believing in yourself.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Because I mean, if you don't believe in yourself and you don't have that confidence to get through it, then, you know, you're really going to be in a down place. You're going to be in a bad mindset. But, you know, if you wake up every day, have faith, just keep on going. You know, good things are always going to happen to you.
100%. 100%.
So the last question is, what's a quote that you want to tell the audience that you live by every day?
A quote that I live by every single day. Honestly, I would have to say this quote by Denzel Washington that I heard around like a month ago or say, and it really stuck with me because I really liked how he said this. But he said, my faith helps me understand that circumstances don't dictate my happiness, my inner peace.
Yeah.
So that's a good quote that I live by, and I really like that one.
Thoughts? Awesome. Yeah. Okay. I love it. All right. Well, thank you, Omar, for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Marcelo. I appreciate
it. This is my first interview right here. First interview, but, you know, Omar, obviously, great friend, great person, and a great role model, you know, for the younger generation to look up to. I mean, just a great person, great athlete, and he did drop 30 on us in high school again. Absolute baller. And also, too, you know, hopefully, you know, he'll join the podcast as time goes on, and, you know, well, we could definitely look back on this, but overall, I hope you had a great interview today, and
I enjoyed it. Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, well, thank you for joining the podcast. So that's it for this episode, and we'll see you in the next one. Please be sure to, you know, share with your family, friends. We have this on YouTube, Spotify, and a bunch of other platforms as well, like Amazon Music. So be sure to check out the podcast. Be sure to check out all of the links. Like, subscribe, and thank you. And, yeah, we'll see you later.